Let's read together Acts chapter 18. In this chapter, we have Paul's ministry at Corinth and the completion of his second missionary journey. We also have the beginning of Paul's third missionary journey. Let's begin by reading the first 17 verses. Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. But when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshiped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. "Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. When Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names of your own law, look to it yourselves, for I do not want to be a judge of such matters." And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sothenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. Let's begin our study of Acts chapter 18 with some background notes. In verse 1, we read that Paul left Athens and went to Corinth, a journey of about 50 miles. Paul settled in Corinth at least a year and a half, according to verses 9 through 11. Now, if the 18 months, the year and a half of verse 11, is measured only from the time that Paul received his encouraging vision, of verses 9 and 10, then his total time in Corinth would have been somewhat longer than a year and a half. In verse 5, we learn that Silas and Timothy joined Paul again here in Corinth. Remember, Paul had been waiting for them to join him in Athens after their ministry at Berea. Apparently, either Silas and Timothy were delayed, or Paul left Athens sooner than he thought. On the other hand, Silas and Timothy may have joined Paul in Athens, and then Paul sent them back again on another mission to Macedonia. We do know that Timothy, at least, did return to Thessalonica sometime during this time period, because Paul mentions this in his first letter to the Thessalonians, which he wrote while he was here at Corinth. I'm reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. "But now that Timothy has come to us from you and brought us good news of your faith and love." As a result of this good news that Timothy brought from Thessalonica, Paul wrote his first letter to the Thessalonians, and soon after he wrote 2 Thessalonians, also during this stay in Corinth. The date of this stay in Corinth, and thus the writing of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, was during the early 50s AD, AD 51 and 52. As a result of this good news that Timothy brought from Thessalonica, Paul wrote these first two letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. We see in verse 5 of Acts chapter 18 that after Silas and Timothy joined Paul in Corinth, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, as some of your translations put it. Now, this does not mean that Paul suddenly became more dedicated to the work, but rather that he no longer needed to support himself by making tents. Most likely, Silas and Timothy brought some financial help from the churches in Macedonia. So much for background. Let's move now to our doctrine or teaching points. Doctrine or teaching point number one. The work of the Lord involves adapting to various situations. The work of the Lord involves adapting to various situations. We see in this chapter that Paul adapted to a number of different situations in Corinth. When he first arrived in Corinth, apparently he was low on funds. Have you ever been in that situation before? I know some of you are probably saying right now that you're always involved in that situation, right? Seriously speaking, I'm specifically referring to low funds in the ministry. What do you do when funds run low in the ministry that you're doing what you believe the Lord has called you to do to serve Him? Well, you do what the Apostle Paul did and what the Bible is teaching here. You adapt and adjust to the situation. Paul went out and got a secular job. He knew the trade of tent making, and he got a job with Aquila and Priscilla because they were tent makers, verses 2 and 3 once again. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Verses 2 and 3. Question: are you willing to adapt and adjust to a situation of need by making tents? Illustration: I remember some years ago being involved full-time in a youth ministry, and funds ran low. There were 5 of us on staff. So what did we do? Did we quit and assume God wanted to close down the ministry? No. We all went out and got part-time jobs and kept the ministry going. And the Lord blessed and taught us all some great lessons about depending on Him. As a result of making tents, Paul met Priscilla and Aquila and may have won them to the Lord, although Priscilla and Aquila may already have been believers. In any case, through their relationship with Paul, Priscilla and Aquila become great servants of the Lord themselves. Now, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul adapted to another situation. Apparently, now he had enough funds to teach and preach full-time again. And so he did. He adapted to that situation. When the Jews of Corinth refused to believe, Paul adapted to that situation and turned to the Gentiles and found a new place to preach and teach, next to the synagogue. And of all things, Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, becomes a believer along with his whole household. Now, it looks like a man named Sothenes replaced Crispus as the leader of the synagogue. And when Gallio, the Roman proconsul, refused to hear the case of the unbelieving Jews against Paul, some anti-Jewish Greeks took this as an opportunity to beat up Sothenes. By the way, the judgment seat or bema that's mentioned here is still there today, the very one. It's still there today and can be seen in the ruins of ancient Corinth. As a result of all this, it looks like Sothenes became a believer as well and joined the Apostle Paul. Because when Paul writes 1 Corinthians, about 5 years later, Sothenes is mentioned as a brother in Christ. Again, we see how Paul adapted to all these changing situations. The work of the Lord involves adapting to different situations. Doctrinal point number two. The work of the Lord involves assisting various saints. The work of the Lord involves assisting various saints. Verses 18 through 28. Acts chapter 18, beginning now at verse 18. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. Then he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem. But I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church, he went down to Antioch. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order strengthening all the disciples. Now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. What the vow was that Paul took mentioned in verse 18, we don't know. But cutting the hair was a sign that the time of this vow was over. Read Numbers chapter 6 in this connection. Paul took Priscilla and Aquila with him to Ephesus and left them there when he went back to Antioch of Syria to complete his second missionary journey. Meanwhile, Priscilla and Aquila were busy laying the groundwork for the church at Ephesus, which Paul would visit on his third missionary journey. That journey begins here in verse 23 of Acts chapter 18. While Priscilla and Aquila were helping the various saints at Ephesus, a powerful preacher named Apollos passed through Ephesus and preached the word boldly in the synagogue where Priscilla and Aquila were attending. He knew the truth about Jesus as the Messiah, but he was only acquainted with the baptism of repentance of John the Baptist. Apparently, he did not yet know of the doctrine of the church as the body of Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So what did Priscilla and Aquila do when they realized that Apollos was not straight in his doctrine? Did they call him a heretic? No, they assisted him. They took him aside, verse 26. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. You know, they probably had him over to their home for coffee and meals in order to share the truth with him. And Apollos listened and learned and went on to Corinth sound in doctrine, thanks to Aquila and Priscilla who assisted him. The work of the Lord involves assisting various saints. What about practical application from Acts chapter 18? You can be a Priscilla and Aquila couple. You can be a Priscilla and Aquila couple. Now, the application here is especially for married couples. When you follow Priscilla and Aquila through the New Testament, you find them at Corinth, at Ephesus, at Rome. They moved around quite a bit, but always serving the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we learn that they had a church meeting in their home in Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila certainly sacrificed a lot of their personal time and material things and security in order to be free and flexible and available to serve the Lord. And they were blessed together as a married couple. You too can be blessed as a married couple. You can be a Priscilla and Aquila couple.